Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
Intro. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for each of you. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, you don't have to read it word for word, obviously. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have a couple stories for you. The big story of the day is that there is a Marine Corps recruiter, gunnery sergeant, who, I mean, if you've been around the military long enough, and I think old Katie even gave some personal examples, recruiters can be perverts. We know it. They have been for decades. They've been pervy. But some, like, usually they do it, they're a little bit under the radar. They are trying to keep it away from their chain of command's attention. They're doing shady stuff. They're using, like, burner accounts, all kinds of stuff to talk. Not the guy that we're going to talk about today. He even wrote a book about the things that he did while being, would you consider it groomer? I'd consider it grooming, right?
Yeah, yeah. No,
1,000%.
Today we have the story 100% of a Marine Corps recruiter who groomed a high school girl and terrorized her family, and it's fucking wild. He's still active duty, but the details of this story are so absurd and so bizarre, this fucking guy, that I did a Katie deep dive. This is a Katie deep dive episode. A great expose by military.com, and then I went spiraling from there. So, yeah.
And I have one little tidbit before we start it, or before we talk about the other things. I have emailed or DM'd with the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps a couple times, like over the past couple years. And typically whoever's in that position, the PAO or whether the Sergeant Major himself, will get back to me. This time when I ask them, like, what's going on with this, the first time they left me on scene on DM.
Ooh, crickets.
So they know what's going on, and they're like, oh, no, we're not giving that information to you, you son of a bitch, because you'll be talking about it on StreamYard with Kate and Con. We're not giving you that information about what we're going to do. And you're not going to get an official comment until there is, like, a court-martial or something. That's enough for right now. We're going to get into that story later. It's mind-blowing. Like, legit, all of us were texting back and forth last week. Like, I can't believe this is real. I can't believe this is as brazen as we've seen. We're going to talk about that story. We're going to talk about a couple other things that are going on as well in Katie's news roundup. But let's get going with the actual topic, because I am chomping at the old bit to get going into this. Kate, what did you uncover in your Charlie-esque search for what was going on?
Yeah, I had the cork board behind me with all the different pieces of this fella. And this story comes from the reporter Drew F. Lawrence at military.com. And honestly, if it hadn't been for his reporting, I feel like this would still be under the rug. So shout out to him and the job he did on this and sticking with it and making the Marine Corps answer for it, because it's crazy. So here's the way he starts this story out. The Marine Corps recruiter showed up at the young recruit's door twice in 1 hour, according to a police report. On that hot Texas summer day, the woman, just a few months past 18, was not home, but her parents were. The doorbell rang two times, and they called 911. after the recruiter, who by this time had become terrifying, controlling to their daughter, the prospective Marine, had left something on their porch. "He's calling me. He's leaving messages. He's going crazy, Mom. He's going to kill me," Kathleen would later recall her daughter, the would-be recruit, telling her as she went to check the porch. There, Kathleen, the mom, found two bottles of whiskey and a letter written on lined three-punch paper. 36-year-old Gunnery Sergeant Christopher Champagne, now under investigation, after publishing a memoir about his year-plus relationship with this girl, the underage girl, that began when she was 17, he had left on their porch a thank you for inviting him over for Christmas 8 months earlier. So he's stalking this family after the family knows, and he knows they know, that he was grooming and hooking up with their 17-year-old high school daughter. Okay?
8 months is so long, too. 8 months.
And yeah, hanging around that's... the house and terrorizing the family like that. Mm-hmm. And okay. So the family takes this unannounced visit as threatening. And the Naval Criminal NCIS would later confiscate the bottles. But earlier this month, military.com reported on the memoir, which appeared to outline behavior Kathleen described as grooming, as well as accusations by Champagne's ex-wife alleging sexual assault and other abusive behavior. "He guilted me to do a lot of things I didn't want to do," the former recruit told military.com. The young Marine recruit said that the abusive behavior by Champagne included sexual assault. She provided accounts of the assault, which her mother said she had been told about several months later. A military protective order had been put in place against Champagne after the initial reports, but apparently, and they told her, "You're not in any danger of being contacted by Champagne now." Well, that was false, according to the family. He continued
also,
to terrorize.
Also, how do you say that? How do you know? Like, as a command presence, like, Cons, you could chime in on this. You can't guarantee something like that. Like, even like a regular protection order doesn't guarantee he's not going to contact you. You can't say that.
Right, especially now with all the different forms of communication that you could leverage. It's a statement that you just can't wrap your head around because there's just way too many ways to get around it. And also, I mean, maybe we'll get to more of the details. I'm just not understanding why he continued to contact her. I would help me out here with the recruiting process. It's like, hey, you want to join? Okay, cool. Then they go through the process. But if you say like, no, I'm all set, I don't want to go to the Marines, shouldn't they just stop right there ever contacting you ever? Or are recruiters persistent with people once they have their information?
Well, that's a whole other ball. I want to stick with the story real quick. Yeah. So his unit tells the family, don't worry, he's not going to bug you anymore, back in July. But the family was like, hello, he's still bothering us, like constantly. Mm-hmm. Champagne was messaging the former recruit under a fake name, lashing out and threatening to release videos of them having sex. This is an example of one of the texts that he sent from a name Pete Mitchell, the main character of the Top Gun movies, an allusion he made in his memoir.
My God.
"I recorded us having sex multiple times and I'll send the videos to everyone." The recruit sent these messages and other correspondence to NCIS asking for help. But it was not until mid-November. It was in July that NCIS was like, don't worry, you're fine. He's not going to bug you. She was begging for help, and it wasn't until mid-November, after military.com published an initial story, that the Navy's investigative arm finally gave the family assurances that it would prioritize the case. That's fucking egregious. So military.com tries to hit up Champagne, and they're like giving him calls. They want a statement from him. But he responds to a text, and he says this, instead of answering their call or talking to them, he says, "If you send me the questions in advance, maybe we can talk," type of deal. And military.com was like, no, let's just have a phone call. Give us a call and we'll talk about your memoir and your relationship with a recruit. Those are the only two things military.com specifically said they want to talk to him about. This memoir he wrote, which we'll get into in a minute, detailing his crimes and his relationship with the recruit. Champagne responded to military.com's text asking for that with a screenshot of a polygraph test, a private one, a privately whatever, which we all know is not reliable anyway, that showed he did not sexually assault his ex-wife. And military.com was like, what? We didn't even know about that or ask about that. And then he sent a photo of kids at a house party.
What is that?
And military.com was like, we also don't know what to do with this. He writes, I want to correct the errors in your last article as well as what you probably will publish in the follow-up, but unfortunately, I will not comment on the pending investigation. And military.com again was like, we didn't ask for either of those things, and what the hell's going on? Now, back to that memoir that he wrote, that this is what military.com was trying to ask him about. Champagne's memoir was self-published in the fall, and excerpts were provided to military.com by his ex-wife's family, in which he documented a year of his and the recruit's relationship, one that even in his own words entailed his pursuit of a teenager who was not old enough to join the military on her own accord when they first became involved and Champagne was her recruiter. He used pseudonyms. The book, which I found, you can't order it anymore online. Not that I would give him my $6 anyway, goddammit. He changed the names, but it's under his name, Christopher Champagne, and it's called Cosette's Decision. So he changed her name to Cosette in this book, but the cover of it is like a sexy, spicy romance novel cover, okay? Showing the silhouette of an older man holding the hand of a young girl looking up at him.
It looks like one of those romance novels that you would see in the back of like a Goodwill or something like that, you know, like that. It's one of those things where it's three books for $5 type of deal.
Yeah. Well, this is in his own words. This is a description I found on Goodreads, which, by the way, it only has 1.57 stars on Goodreads. So not a good
read. I think that's high for a grooming book. I think 1.57 is high.
I agree. There was a couple reviews on Amazon that were like, I found it very troubling. Anyway, this is his description of the book of his real shit that he did. Cosette's Decision is my scandalously romantic memoir while on the downslope of my career, suffering from depression after a recent divorce and a failed suicide attempt. I had taken over a struggling recruiting office when a friend reached out with a dynamic, beautiful woman named Cosette who wanted to join. However, Cosette came with a warning. She had an affinity for older men. I wanted to vomit the whole time.
Right.
She was a lifeline to our... What's that?
How would that be something that people know? And no, I mean, 36 and 17. Like, and I know that's something that should be kind of shocking, like no matter what age you are. But I have a 17 or an 18-year-old daughter. And I 36 years old. I just don't.
Well, I want to go back to my earlier question.
He wrote that she had an affinity for older men. She didn't. He was grooming her.
No. I totally get that. It was a separate comment. Yeah. Like, there is no affinity for older men. Like, that's a grooming thing for sure.
But I need to understand. You guys got to explain this to me because I didn't go through this process. Why did he continue to contact her? Why was it that contact?
Because he was fucking her, Hans. He was sexually assaulting her.
Yeah, it's not normal. There is contact that happens. Like you check in. Yeah. You check in every now and then to make sure that they don't want to. It's kind of like if you work for an electrician or something like that. They come over to your house. They service something. 6-8 months later, they'll call you back, see if you need anything else, just to check in. That's normal recruiter behavior.
Okay.
This is something.
No, I'm not saying that.
Right. Predator, but this situation to this much is wildly different.
And let's continue on. Keep in mind, he's talking about a 17-year-old high school kid. She was a lifeline to our recruiting office, but I was spiraling. And Cosette was the lifeline I needed to be pulled from a dark place. Troubled pasts connected us emotionally. Again, she's fucking 17. And a burning white-hot relationship developed. I was willing to risk my career to save her and protect her from the world that had let her down, while Cosette threatened the relationships with her family and friends by creating a false identity, her best friend, Julia. And this ties into two. He had had her make up so that the family wouldn't see texts or calls or emails.
Oh,
he had them using fake names, secret code words, all kinds of shit. He was like devious as fuck. Cosette and I had to decide how to put off the inevitable in a relationship we could never have and determine how far we were willing to go with the charade. We dealt with lies, betrayal, and the loss while reality kept pulling us apart.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
It's ranked 26,299 in military romance books. Okay, so I don't know how I was shocked there was that many military romance
books.
Yeah,
that just blew me away. That number blew me away. I got to read the other 200. I want 26,000.
I need to know what number one is.
And it's nearly 3 million down the list in bestsellers. So don't worry. Don't worry. This book's not like red hot or anything. But people then are on Amazon now leaving reviews saying this should have negative stars because it's about a predator, written by a predator. All sorts of people are shitting on this. This is the part that blew me away. Not only did he write a whole memoir detailing this, before he even wrote it, he had a Kickstarter for it that raised $211. He writes indie memoir that explores a scandalous true story and controversial elements. This account on Twitter, Stolen Valor One, was able to get the screenshots before it came down. Here's about the creator, Christopher Champagne. I am the father of a beautiful girl and a Marine who has served over 13 years. Traveling is my passion, but I had a story that needed to be told. Cassette's Decision will be my literary debut, but I have follow-on projects I wish to pursue. Blah, 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 blah. And this is him asking for people to donate money. There's a part on Kickstarter where you have to write you share what the risks and challenges of your project are. He says, agents and publishers want to remove some of the controversial elements of my story. Yeah, like where you're hooking up with an underage child, you fucker.
Yeah, where you're committing statutory rape against a child, that one.
And he makes himself a hero. He says, by self-publishing as an indie debut author, I am afforded the opportunity to share the truth even when it's hard. So he's like making himself the hero in this, who's doing the thing. And then... at Pokemom on Twitter, Marissa, she's a Marine as well. And she's
comment on something else? He says that editing is 3 cents a word. I had no idea. That's a lucrative business. We should get into copyright.
It really is. We should get into editing. The blog's not, you know. Mm-hmm. She found his Twitter where he was openly tweeting. He had memes about, he said, trying to find an audience for my age gap story, #scandal. And it's that meme of the girl in the arm of the guy, but she's looking back at the other guy.
Yeah.
And it's guys my age, me, older men. It's like he's openly. And then here's another one.
Next one's creepy.
It's a picture of his body, like a mirror selfie, like an Anthony Weiner style mirror selfie. And I weighed 206 pounds in late July and Cassette said my #dadbod was perfect for cuddling. I've lost 30 pounds from #depression, but I wrote a book to get me through.
The
creepiest of creepy shit. Anyway, it gets even worse somehow. So he had her using code names, keeping secrets, but the whiskey bottles planted on the doorstep transformed it from taboo and unsettling to like threatening and scary. And that's when she finally was like, Mom and Dad, we need to talk. Like, I have something to tell you. Like, to go to your parents with something like that as a teenager had to be so incredibly hard. And she was scared for her life. Like, she was so scared that she went to her parents and was like, here's what's going on. The former recruit met Champagne and guess what kind of Marine he was?
Shitbag.
Besides a shitbag, a weather Marine. He was a meteorologist. And I bet you money he was telling her stories like he was fucking scout sniper. I bet you he was telling her all kinds of shit like he was the most badass motherfucker around.
Yeah, but he always knew when you needed an umbrella.
That's true.
You knew where, you know where he met her? You know those at the, you go to the county fair and the Marine recruiter's like, hey kid, come try a pull-up. That's where the fuck he met her, at the county fair. Here she is, a high school kid having fun at the fair, and she meets this guy who's like, look at you, you can do it, you can be a Marine, and had her doing pull-ups and blah, blah, blah. Champagne's memoir shows that he was attracted to her at 17, saying, I couldn't take my eyes off her. Before she left that day, I challenged her to write down her Snapchat, even though I already programmed her cell phone number into my phone. I had exercised plenty of risky behavior over my career. Still, I figured I would talk myself out of messaging her or only operate in a gray area without stepping over. He knew exactly from the second he saw her what he was doing from the start.
Anyways, also, this is such an admission of guilt. My fucking God. Dude.
The whole thing is, I've never seen anything like it where what a stupid, stupid, awful, awful man.
I'm not saying he's not stupid, but I wonder, and I'm not a doctor, but I wonder what sort of psychological problems he has to be writing all this, admitting that guilt, knowing full well he's doing something wrong. Obviously, just the fact of doing what he's doing, being a sexual predator, grooming this young woman and taking advantage of her and assaulting her sexually, all of that is horrible. I think you have to be screwed up in the head to do all of that. So I think to compound that is probably something to do with him admitting all of it as well.
I would say probably narcissism, but like, yeah, look at me. A lot of people are screwed up in the head and they're not grooming high school kids. Like this guy, I don't think he could claim mental stuff to get out of this because he was so calculated and knew.
No,
exactly.
But I'm just a weirdo.
So cognizant of everything.
Yeah. I just like try to understand like why people do things that they do. And that's the only thing I could come up with.
Yeah. I mean, doing the act itself is egregious and horrible. Something that no one should ever do, obviously. But to write a full out, what essentially amounts to like a fictional manifesto is bizarre.
What? I'm sorry, not to like compare it to something else, but it's kind of similar sounding to when these people do school shootings, unfortunately, and they write out what they're going to do ahead of the school shooting. That's, you know, kind of where I'm getting at, where he's screwed up to that level.
And he was super manipulative. I took it out, but she goes into detail about how he would like, you read like, oh, how can you guilt someone into having sex or whatever? Oh. But like he really had it all thought out and he really took advantage of her in like the worst way.
I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen the movie Spotlight and heard of the story of the Catholic Church with all the priests over decades. It's the same thing. How did they get away with it for decades? Well, they were able to manipulate them mentally and you get in a situation that you can't get out of.
Obviously, this violates DOD policy. Recruiters are prohibited from having inappropriate relationships with recruits, even if they are of age. Like, that's DOD policy. And it's meant to avoid abuse. It's an abuse of power. Because I remember when I was a recruit, I looked up to my recruiters. I thought they were, like, the shit. Mm-hmm. They could have been... I was going to say Bulk Fuel or Motor T. God bless him. Gore needs him. They could have been anything or anyone or haven't done anything.
Gates taking shots at all the Pogue MOSs.
They could have been
Weather fucking like Motor T. They could have been. Saying, they could have been a goddamn band.
You don't know any different at 17, at 16. You don't know any different.
You see the uniform. Assume.
Yeah,
like,
you just think everybody is awesome.
Guys, and like it was during the war. I like thought these guys were like gods. I was like, holy shit. I would have done like, they just. I don't know.
And when you talk about honor, courage, and commitment, you talk about all these strong moral codes. Like, that's a big part about getting people to join. Like, do you want to be more mature? Do you want to have more honor? Like, all those types of things. So when you're talking to a recruiter who's supposed to be in the embodiment of that, like, at that time for you, it's even more of a betrayal.
Yeah, that's what made me, like, heartsick. And apparently this guy isn't on recruiting duty anymore, but he's still on active duty. And the family said for months, again, they had been reaching out to NCIS and the Marines and basically got crickets. This is what the former recruit had to say. Until the last few days, I really felt like they were just trying to sweep everything under the rug and hoping that if they didn't respond to me, I would lose interest. It was only after that military.com story that they were following up with NCIS. Military.com was like poking at NCIS saying like, hey, we're doing a follow-up. What do you guys have to say about this? That they reached out to the former recruit, which is so fucked up. They finally asked her a series of questions to include whether she had ever been given a copy of Champagne's military protective order. And she was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Nobody told me, didn't have it. So Champagne's former family, on top of this, the Marine Corps already knew he was abusive. His ex-wife, Christy Champagne, and her father had previously told military.com that they had told the Marine Corps and local police and military authorities that he had sexually assaulted her, emotional abuse, failure to provide child support, and nothing happened. So like it was on the radar that this was a bad guy. And she said the family, his ex-wife, at the very least, I hope what happened to me provides validity to her and her situation, because I doubt that I will ever see the day where he's ever held accountable legally. And so the family too, the previous family before he got to her, had been saying red flags, Marine Corps, red flags. This guy is bad. And this is how it ended. And this made me so sad. The help from the agent on Tuesday came too late, according to the former recruit's family. Too late to at least give the former recruit a shot at joining the Marines, her dream, or a sense of safety and normalcy in the precipice of adulthood in the face of alleged threats from an active duty Marine. I just want to go on with my life and not think about this anymore, she said. I'm just ready to get on with my life and be 18 again. And then on Reddit, I found other people who had served with him who said, I've known this guy since I was a private, rumors of him sleeping with Marines in the schoolhouse. Fast forward, check into a unit. Just all these red flags had checked out. Someone said, he was an instructor when I was in the schoolhouse. I know exactly what you mean. He was investigated for sleeping with a student right before I got there, but he got cleared.
I mean, that's the exact reason why he wrote that book, because he's been doing it for years and more
invincible.
And more brazen as the time goes by. I mean, you see it, not to extrapolate it out, but I'm going to extrapolate it out with serial killers. Like serial killers will do it like 3 or 4 times and they get away with it. And next thing you know, they are a lot more brazen. They don't cover their tracks as much. They leave DNA evidence. And this guy's the same thing. How the fuck can the Marine Corps look at somebody, even with investigations? Like, if you have investigations for inappropriate relationship at the schoolhouse, which is with pipeline Marines, how in the world can you be put in another situation where you have that? Like, you have to operate on the abundance of caution. Like, if you don't have something to convict somebody or to NJP them or do whatever, that's one thing. But to knowingly and willingly put them in a position where they could possibly do that same thing again, I don't understand how the Marine Corps operates that way. And I, honest to God, feel like if that's the case, the Marine Corps should be able to be sued.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
For that. Like, to knowingly put somebody in that position and to cause this young woman that much trauma that's going to stick around for the remainder of her natural life. Like, you, that's not something, sure, you go to counseling, you could deal with it, but it's always like a lingering thing in the back of your head when you experience that type of trauma.
I think too, across the board, they're having trouble with recruiting across all the branches right now. For the Marine Corps, for the unit and NCIS involved in this case to sweep it under the rug, the best thing they could have done right off the bat was address it head on, rush that investigation, kick this motherfucker out of the Marine Corps, make a very public statement saying, he's out, we don't tolerate this shit, and we're revamping shit across the recruitment board to make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else. That would have been the smartest, best thing, and instead they didn't. And now there's viral TikToks, social media scuttlebutt, all the women's groups I'm in. This is hashing up other stories of creepy recruits, because pretty much all of us have a story about a creepy recruiter being a creep. Tons of great recruiters out there, but like, it was like a known secret when I was in that recruiters creep on high school girls. Like, that's a thing. Not making that up.
I'm just curious, was it ever a case where people would volunteer to go be a recruiter because they knew they would get to be around high school age people?
I mean, I'm sure like that there is some predators out there like that, but I mean, probably this guy, shit. Like, dude, probably a pretty good example.
Yeah. And I just, like, the Marine Corps had an opportunity to do the right thing, and they didn't. I hope whoever across the board, because I'm sure, like, you messaged the comment on the Marine Corps about this and, like, whatever. Obviously, they didn't know about it until it hit the news, probably, and yada, yada. But I hope that whoever's at the top, I hope heads roll for this. I hope they do a full investigation, and whoever was across the board, all the way to the top leadership of who was involved in this and who fucked that entire command, like, right up the ass, fucking terrible. And a lot of people too were commenting across the board. This is from a commenter on TikTok, because there's a bunch of TikToks about this now. You'd be surprised at how often it happens in recruiting and is covered up for numbers, blah, blah, blah. At a time when we're struggling with recruitment, this is like the last thing they needed. And it was them not doing the right thing that sparked another like PR crisis during a time we need recruiters. I also think I was reading Task and Purpose last year did a story about, so like the Army is 20% women, only 12% of Army recruiters are women. And across all the branches, the number of women recruiters is disproportionate to the number of women representative in the service. I feel like having more oversight and having more women in recruiting. Because I can't imagine me seeing a fellow Marine creeping on a high school girl and letting it slide. I feel like I would call that shit out so quick. Even I don't like.
But also, Kate, I can't imagine being a recruiter and seeing a dude creeping on a high school girl and acting like I'm going to think that that's okay either. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like, that's not something that I would have been like, oh, well, this is cool.
But also, don't recruiters.
That's what you're saying at all, Kate.
Yeah. Aren't recruiters kind of out on their own in kind of remote pockets?
A lot of times,
Yeah, right? So they can just kind of act, and it's not like a whole unit or a whole squad of recruiters is together that
especially
they would have
when
oversight.
You're a gunnery sergeant for Marines. Like,
yeah, you would think at that level.
Station, yeah.
Right. And you could be trusted to do the right thing, even though you're out by yourself. You've reached a certain rank that affords itself a certain level of responsibility that – a command doesn't necessarily need to worry about you every second of the day. Well, you know, Gunnery Sergeant Snuffy is going to do the right thing. And I think that's where you get in trouble. You get guys just and girls, you know, operating outside of the rules and regulations.
I just think sometimes women feel more impunity. Comfortable going to women to say like, hey,
for
this
sure.
isn't right kind of thing. But
for
like,
sure.
Yeah. But, and I feel like we have sometimes a better spidey sense for the creeps, but I don't know, I don't know how to fix it, but I think more stories are going to start coming out and they're going to need better oversight. Cause you're right. They do operate by themselves. They have a vehicle. They have access to the contact
high schools,
high school kids. And these high school kids think they're gods. So any fucking.
And a lot of times I would feel the parents would be trusting of these people for the same thing that we mentioned before. Like
because
you see somebody
this blind hero worship of these guys.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like an automatic in. It's the same with priests. It's the same with, you're right. It's a very, whatever. I hope some big changes come from this.
It's the people you think you can trust and be comfortable with that seemingly sometimes we always have these sorts of things happen.
Also, no Christopher Champagne. What a gunny Champagne. Ugh, what a name. And he looks like a big tub of Elmer's glue. He's this big. He looks like an egg.
Body shaming, Kate. Didn't expect
I am.
That. Wait, no. Like don't say egghead. Look at
Sorry,
me and Hans
no
are right
guys.
Here. We're literally right here, Kate.
I know, but his head is like three times the size of your guys' heads, and it's like
I doubt that.
Big...
I wear a 7.58. I got a big old melon.
I don't
Same,
know.
Same, 7.75.
One of the guys that works here wears a 9. I forget who it
what?
Was. But I think it was Tom Lee that wears like a 8.75 or some shit like that. Yeah,
is that
absolute
is that
melon.
Due in part to his hair, though, too? He's got a lot of hair.
I mean, hair flops down, Cons, with the biggest
Not,
of hats.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. All right. Well, we'll keep you up to date about what's going on with that case. And hopefully the Marine Corps acts and acts swiftly, which I kind of at this point, I sort of expect them to. Like, I expect when this kind of thing happens now. And if not, I guess I shouldn't expect it. But I hope with all hoping that they figure this out and prosecute them as much as they possibly can. Because they have the evidence. I mean, it's not like they're lacking evidence. They have the evidence.
I know. They have the memoir. Yeah. Bless whoever at NCIS has to read.
What
hey,
did
Smith,
you mean
all,
by
you gotta
this?
You got to read this fucking book and get the details down. God damn.
And sometimes those are the most effective types of prosecution because you guys know I like to watch sentencing of people whenever they commit like a terrible crime like that. One of them that I watched recently, there is a guy who killed a neighbor and he was getting charged with first degree murder for premeditation and they have him up there and the judge during the sentencing was like, I want you to read again the Google searches that happened on the night that he killed his neighbor that he's convicted of it. And it's like, how do you dispose of a body? How do you dismember a body to throw it in the trash? Well, they look through trash for heat signatures for bodies. It was like 50 different types of Google searches. And you could see the guy that was getting convicted. He was like, well, there's no coming back from this. Like, it's all there in black and white.
You got me.
Hearsay is one thing. But when it's in cold, hard, black and white, you edited it yourself. You published it yourself. They have the keystrokes on your computer. Every single thing is there for a conviction. And to make an example of this guy, the Marine Corps better do it. They just better do it. And we'll keep you updated on whether they do it or not. All right, let's move on to some news stories of the day, and that's going to be brought to you by our friends at Omaha Steaks. The holidays are coming. Let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all over winter long. Go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site wide. Plus, you get a promo code ZBT at checkout to get an additional $30 off your order. Send juicy, tender, butcher cut filet mignons, mouthwatering burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, or even I need to say something about these gourmet franks. They came in a little package because they send us stuff so we can try it out. I love Omaha Steaks. Every year when it's holiday season or something like that, I'm like, hell yeah, more Omaha Steaks.
Good desserts, too.
So there's like four of those. I think four or eight was the package that we got of the hot dogs. They were gone, whether it was four or eight, in a day and a half. McCartney is the most picky eater of all time. They took those little hot dogs, threw them in the air fryer for like 3 minutes, could do it by themselves. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I came downstairs. Annalise was doing some work. And I was like, Cart, what do you want for dinner? Because it's when it's us two, I usually just make like Costco little frozen pizzas, something like that. Yeah. They're like, I think I want to try one of those hot dogs that they saw. And they ate them. The next day, Annalise was working at a conference again. Oh, yeah, it was conference season. So the next day, I was like, same thing. Cardi was like, I already put one in the air fryer. I ate it at like 4:45 when I got home. I
was like, speaking of.
You ate dinner at 4:45?
Oh, they did. Crush the hot dogs. Alex eats dinner at like 3 o'clock. She's a senior citizen when it comes to dinner. But she recently, because we're obviously moving. You get
mid rats at 9 cons. Yeah, mid rats at 8:30.
That's true. But because we're moving, we have very little in the house in the way of food. She made me the other night, unbelievable. She's a cook, but she made risotto and put one of the hot dogs in, and it was delicious.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
because they're that good. This offer won't last long, though. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, and so shop early and beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code ZBT at checkout. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use the promo code ZBT at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. And it's also brought to you by our friends at Zen. You guys know that we're all about keeping it real. So let's talk about something making a real change for vets in active duty right now. We're talking Zen nicotine pouches. If you're looking for a new way to enjoy nicotine, America's number one nicotine pouch comes in 10 varieties like wintergreen, spearmint, coffee, and two strengths of 3 milligrams to kick off your experience and 6 milligrams to take it up a notch. Zen is smoke-free, spit-free, hands-free, giving you more freedom to move. Plus, as is, there's no batteries or devices you need to get your Zen on, which is one less thing to worry about on your next trip to the PX. Look, when it comes to making a change, we know progress is more important than perfection. Zen knows it too, because everyone's on a different path. If you're curious about what a premium nicotine experience, head to your local convenience store, pxzen.com, to find out. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. Katie, let's get into some of your news roundup. What else is going on?
Yeah, I just had a quick thing. Did you guys see the video of that house explosion?
Yes.
In right outside DC in Arlington last night?
Yeah, that shit was wild.
Holy shit balls. It looked like, you know, when a house has a gas explosion, like a gas leak explosion, like that house fucking exploded. So yesterday afternoon, Arlington.
It looked like Christopher Nolan was in charge of it.
It really, the way the sparks flew and the pieces flew, it looked like a Hollywood set explosion and not like whatever.
Like Vin Diesel just crashed into the house driving a Camaro.
So yesterday afternoon, Arlington police get a call of possible gunshots in this Arlington neighborhood. And Arlington's not like a wild town, you know?
No, it's a very wild area.
That's where John Boehner lives. That's where John Boehner crashes his Yahtzee.
Right. So they go, and it turns out it wasn't gunshots. It was a man in the house who had discharged a flare gun 30 to 40 times. Them's a lot of flares. I don't know how that happens.
That can't be it. Like, yeah, I've been around enough gun, like, bombs one shot. And explosives.
This was the official Arlington police report that I got from their website just before the show started. Investigation discovered somebody there had been firing off a crazy amount of flare guns, 30 to 40. Okay.
Then what?
Already crazy. Then the suspect barricades themselves in the house. And around 8:30 p.m., police finally got a search warrant. They try to issue it. And when they go to issue it, the house fucking just explodes. It was a huge fireball, and it was felt across D.C. And that's one of those things, if you're not tracking, like, what's happening, you probably think somebody blew up the fucking White House or something.
Right, like
you're
in DC
and you hear something like that, you're like, what the fuck? Thank God. As soon as I saw the videos, I was like, oh my God, there's probably so many police officers. Like, I thought it was going to be like catastrophic. Mm-hmm. Three officers with minor injuries. Nobody had to go to the hospital. How, if you see that video, how, I don't fucking know. Crazy.
Well, the last line here is very, very telling. Not clear if that guy survived. I won't be surprised if we hear that he died.
Probably looking for his teeth somewhere. Probably didn't make it out of that explosion.
I mean, I'm just speculating based on movies that I've watched over my many years. Sounds to me like he shot off all the flare guns maybe, but then maybe triggered a gas leak in his house, and that's what caused an explosion of that magnitude.
That's exactly what I thought. What movie are you thinking, Cons? Is there one in particular? Military? No.
Oh, military?
Military related? Marine Corps related?
Gas leak. Marines.
The guy shot beans in his backyard.
I don't know what movie you're talking about. Oh, yes. At the end of Shooter. At the end of Shooter.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
So on the end of Shooter, when he goes and cuts the line to the to the stove, and then he comes in and he walks away and blows everything up. That's what I thought of. That's the only way the flare gun makes sense, is if he cut the gas line, waited outside for it to go, and then shot one inside to blow everything up.
Yes.
That's the only way this thing happens. Because it was Kate's right. It was a legitimate, this was like a two-story house. This wasn't like some small little townhouse that has like 1,000 square feet. It was a big-ass house that was torn. There wasn't, you can't even see like the studs. It was taken completely. The roof is gone of the house.
Yeah. It ceased to exist. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yes. It reminds you too, like you never know what's going on in your neighbor's houses. When I lived in Astoria in Queens, there was a Astoria Park, and the houses on the park are always so big and beautiful. And I remember walking by one day and seeing one of the houses like totally cordoned off. And they're like, yeah, this guy for like 20 years had been, turns out, building explosives in there. And the whole house was like a giant bomb and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, holy shit, you would never look at it and think that. You would never have any idea.
Anyways, first thought when I saw the video, meth. That was my first thought.
That makes sense too. Yeah.
I'm always interested to hear. Remember, there was a house in California that did this the other year, and they were hoarding fireworks in their house, and then things went awry. But I'm interested to hear the full story on this.
And honest to God, doing a little bit of flare gun goofing seems to fit with meth too. Like if you're doing a little bit of meth, you're like, I got this. I got this thing. Let's just go ahead and fire it off.
And flare guns, remember in the Marines, they would do the Illum rounds and they'd be like, don't look at them. But you'd be like, I gotta look at it, man. I can't stop.
One of my favorite stories from leaving, we had killed this big Al-Qaeda leader. And so we were very happy going back. We did this real quick reaction raid, got the dude. We're heading back. It was like around 4th of July too. It might've been 4th of July. And when we were on our way back to Camp Fallujah, Captain Rose was like, light off all the illumes that we have. So we're going back on these Humvees, and we probably shoot off 15, 20 flares at the same time, like that are just go up to the sky. The Army unit, the 3rd of the 509th, that was the adjacent unit, their six comes on, their commander comes on the radio. He's like, is everything okay? Completely loses all radio discipline. And Captain Rose is like, yeah, it's fine. We accomplished the mission. We're just doing a little celebrating, because we were only like a kilometer outside of Camp Fallujah when this happened. And he was like, good to go. Come see me whenever you get back, which is not the response that you're looking for. Come see me is, I mean, it's kind of like when my wife texts me, hey, we need to talk about something later. I'm like, well, I'll go ahead and kill myself right now. Like, let's just get this out of the way. I don't want to be involved in that conversation. Same thing.
Also, I love you're like, so anyways, we're on this mission and we killed this guy, and you're wearing you're wearing a little pink sweater with a goose on it.
it says murder.
Yeah, that's true. But on all the years, I'm telling you right now, and unless I'm mistaken, that's the first time you've ever gone into that detail about things that you've done on missions in terms of ending someone's life. That's the first time you've ever said that.
Oh,
it's the illumes. Bring it out. Illumes get everybody talking.
And see, people think that we're not fresh. I still got stories, bitches. Tune in for the next 600 episodes.
We did it. We told an original story. All right.
Let's go.
Fire off the
players. Do you know the what the strength of one Illume round is?
No.
1 million candles.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Damn, those things could be scary, dude. The Illume rounds, I know I've told this one before, but when we were walking through Fallujah, and there was one night, I don't remember what we're doing, but we're going through one night, and a legit Illume round goes off over the top of where we were at, and it basically lit us up like we were in a football stadium. And we are all like, what in the fuck? Because it's so bright. Like, it is so bright overhead, and you don't know what to do. Like, we were standing out there. We were just like, we got to run somewhere. We're not supposed to be out here in the middle. Because there's only, like, four of us. Like, we're not supposed to be out there by yourself that long with the being lit up. So, yeah. Any other news, Kate?
Just a couple other quick things. I'm so sorry. Speaking of explosions.
Apology accepted.
We have another Marine story. Not great. A former Marine pled guilty this past week to a 2022 firebomb attack on a Planned Parenthood in California. Chance Brannon, age 24, one of three men charged with throwing Molotov cocktails at a Planned Parenthood while he was an active duty Marine at Camp Pendleton. No one was hurt in the incident, but the front entrance had burn damage and the clinic had to reschedule about 30 appointments. He had also discussed other attacks along with starting a race war. And they found a rifle with acrylic messages referring to death and racial slurs, as well as a thumb drive with a recording of the Christchurch, New Zealand white supremacist mass shooting. Recruiters, man, what are you guys doing? Where are you finding these people? What are you doing? You're grooming and you're bringing in the creeps. No, this most recruiters are great. But my God, how did this guy slip past the radar? Anyways, I hope he goes away for a long, long time.
Imagine getting that call whenever you know what, though?
I know.
In defense of recruiters, it's entirely possible that people come into the Marines, the Army, Navy, whatever, as perfectly normal individuals, and then they develop other tendencies after they get past the recruiter.
I would say the more common is they're already weird. People are like, oh, they got weird after the time in the military. I'm like, I bet they were weird beforehand.
And they just got access to certain training and weaponry that had just kind of heightened and highlighted some bad qualities they had.
But on a good note, we have a final good story. Don't worry. And it comes to us from the Army, no less. Cons, you guys are shining today. We have the first active duty woman to become an Army sniper. Hell yeah. Oh. A close friend told her there was no way she could do it. She wouldn't even make it in the Army. And there was no chance of her becoming a sniper. 4 years later, she's still defying the odds. That person has to feel so dumb right now. Not only is she like an amazing soldier.
I don't know if it was like a naysayer. I think the person told her that and actually said no balls.
So and they said no balls. They said no flaps. And she was like, all right. Yeah.
I got the biggest flaps.
Her nickname growing up was Sniper, said U.S. Army Sergeant Maciel Hay. Is that how you say it? Michelle? M-A-C-I-E-L? Michelle. Maybe a weird way to spell Michelle. Anyway, Sergeant Hay. We'll call her Sergeant Hay. She's a cavalry scout with 1st Squadron 91st Cav in the 173rd Airborne. She points, and this is, I needed this today. Hay points to her positive experience, underscored by support she has received from leaders and peers throughout her training. From the early days of basic training, where her sharpshooting skills caught the attention of leadership, to her drill sergeant encouraging her to pursue sniper school, she found herself surrounded by individuals who recognized her potential. There's more of that in the military than there are the creeps we're reading about, but they're just more newsworthy.
Yeah, but she doesn't say anything about her recruiter, Kate.
That's true. That's true.
She starts it off at basic training.
But I feel like this reminds me, I feel like so many people underestimate women in the military, and this shows what can happen when a woman in the military has full support and everybody rooting them on and being like, I know you can fucking do it. I know you can meet these standards that these people are meeting, because sniper school ain't no joke.
Like, no, it's difficult.
That
it's
shit
difficult.
Is so hard that most people don't even pass the NDOC initial training to get into sniper school. And so that's fucking badass. So I'm excited to see where her career goes. I'm sure she'll be doing other badass shit too. And also, I love the idea of some incel terrorist getting killed by her.
Yeah.
So,
gives you the warm fuzzies.
Yeah. Those incel terrorists. All right, let's move on to Save Rounds and Alibis, which today is going to be presented by our friends at BetterHelp. Zero Block 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. Whether or not your family gives gifts during the holiday, you get to define how you give to yourself. And the holidays are a great time to do just that. So whether you're starting therapy, going easier on yourself during the tough moments, or treating yourself to a day of complete rest. Remember to give yourself some love this holiday season. I think that's exactly right. Stressful times coming up. Like, I know, like, people who lose family members, the holidays are very difficult, and there's no reason to take that on by yourself. We're all very open and honest about the therapy that we do. We're all involved in it. And I have always called it like going to the brain dentist. There's nothing wrong with going to a dentist for a checkup. There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor or a psychiatrist or a social worker to talk about the things that you need to. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. In the season of giving, give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero. The little coos that you hear is our other co-host, Buck, who's doing so good.
Old Buckshot.
He's struggling. He's trying to get that neck strength to go, and he's wiggling it around just a little bit.
One.
Yeah. You're exactly
he's
right.
Kipping. Hey. He's kipping his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's do some save rounds and alibis. Kate, what do you got?
I don't know. Speaking of BetterHelp and the stress of the holidays, Pat's family in Knoxville, and we're talking about, can we make an 8-hour drive with an infant and toddler for the holidays? I'm saying no, and I don't want to seem like the bad guy, but it's
for those not watching, drive. Chaps and I just got very wide-eyed when you said that.
It just seems
8 hours with two. Look, I don't know the dynamics of everybody's relationships, everybody's family, and like health conditions and all that. But I think the best decision I ever made as a dad was that I'm not going anywhere else on holidays. Once you have kids, if you want to see me, grandparents, you want to see us, you're coming to us. I'm not putting all my children on a plane and putting four people into a different room with one guest room, kids sleeping on a couch,
doing all that.
You come to my house, we have one guest room. Yeah.
It's a lot.
All that stuff.
Anyways, I'm being told I don't want to be the bad guy and the no fun guy, but that's where I'm like,
I'm sorry. No, 8 hours is too long to be in a car. I mean, listen, take kids out of the equation. 8 hours is a long time to be in a car for adults. I can't imagine you put a toddler and an infant into that equation. I don't want to deal with that.
And that's 8 hours as the
that's 8 hours
as the Corolla flies. That's not like including stops and diaper changes
and holiday traffic
and
weather.
You're looking more close to 10 hours probably when it's all said and done.
And this is a boob guy, so we'd have to be stopping every time. Look at him. He's trying to get it right now. He says, "You old scoundrel, you." But anyway.
Well, and the other thing I've learned now. Well, I'm sorry, but learning now, like, what it takes to travel with a little person and how much stuff. Like, I was just down in Maryland for Thanksgiving at my brother and sister-in-law's, and they are unbelievable hosts. We have such a great time every time we go there. But the amount of stuff now that we have to bring in order to account for Maggie.
A whole car's full for one kid.
Yes.
You're moving in. It's
crazy.
Yeah, it's absurd. So I would not want to do 8 hours. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about just trying to figure out the holidays on this end over here. But, what about you guys? Oh, Army, Navy.
Cons, we'll go with you. What's up?
Yeah, up there Saturday. College football show goes at 1 o'clock. Robin Ford Dealership. It's just outside the stadium, and we're being hosted yet again this year by the Travis Mannion Foundation. They have their tailgate there, and they have so generously offered space for the Barstool College football show. So if you're in the area and you're coming to the game, we will be there at the Rodman Ford dealership, which is a 5-minute walk into the stadium. So very, very convenient. The college football show is free for anybody to attend. There is plenty to do and watch and see for that show. We'll be there earlier than that, but very much looking forward. Obviously never been in Boston before for the Army Navy game. So I think that aspect of it, it's going to be very cool just to see a new stadium, see how a new city hosts. But just very excited as I typically am, for this game, especially given how Army's been playing at the tail end of the season here. I'm feeling very good. And then the only other thing I had, for you guys, just kind of curious, 'cause right now in the Barstool world, we are in the throes of Surviving Barstool, where we have 14 of our colleagues who were trapped in the office for a week and doing the Survivor type game show. How do you both think you would do in Surviving Barstool?
I'm not sure. I don't think I would do well, honestly. Like, one, because I think some things that would legit make me lose my temper. And I'm not sure if I want to go down that road. But there's been some absolute shenanigans. And everybody that's involved is just a wild card. It's like 14 wild cards together. So you never know. I feel like this group is so hard to figure out that nobody, if you win this, I feel like you lucked into it a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't read these people.
To go your way. No. Yeah. And then that's where the part I think I would really struggle with, like being a good teammate, you know, similar to like what Will Compton's been so far in the first four episodes and encouraging my team and, you know, sleeping in the office for a week. That's no big deal. We've all done worse than that. But I would have such a problem. I think to the level that you have to be dishonest, I think I would have a problem doing that and then have people later see how dishonest I was. I don't know how I would wrestle with that. So I think I would have a difficult time playing the game that you have to play to win Survivor.
Yeah, I just don't think that way. I would never want to hurt anyone's feelings. So
right.
I don't think I would last long.
Yeah,
it's funny. All the military people are like, we try to be nice. Like we try to do it the nicest way that we possibly can.
Yeah.
As the official golf cart of the Barstool Classic, Easy Go golf carts are built to perform, built to outlast, and built for a smooth ride even in the deepest rough. Whether you're on the course or out on the town, with Easy Go, it's good to go. For a limited time, request a quote with code BARSTOOL to get $1,000 off a new 2024 golf cart at EasyGo.com. One more time, that's $1,000 off with code BARSTOOL at EasyGo.com when you request a quote.
No, but great watch so far. Highly recommend Barstool.
I love it. We've been watching it. It's so enjoyable.
Yeah.
So that's all I got. Looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah.
Seeing a lot of familiar faces. So please come on by.
Yeah. We want to know if our listeners are there. So if you're showing up, whenever you get there, email cons@barstoolsports.com and let us know that you're actually there. I have a new rabbit hole. Everybody, new rabbit hole alert of things that I'm learning about Chicago gangs. So I've been driving a new route to work, and I noticed like different colors and different places people stand out on the curb all the time, and like trying to figure out what's going on in different areas. Chicago's gang world is so drastically different from every other big city in the country that it's legitimately fascinating. You know, so I'm sure that if you've seen about gangs or if you listen to rap music, you know, in most big cities, it's like Bloods and Crips and Latin Kings and MS-13. You have all these different types of gangs like that, the ones that you know their names. Here, it's legitimately block by block, street by street. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the gang version of Fallujah, where you're going house by house to house. The scariest part of this entire thing, because everybody knows about the gang violence. And look, Kate's lived here. I've lived here. I'm not concerned about anywhere that I go in my neighborhood. I'm totally fine. Haven't felt unsafe yet. That being said, I read from the Department of Justice, and this is like, I went down such a rabbit hole that I was reading like case notes from the DOJ. There's last year, 2021, there was a group, five guys from one gang went to go look for five guys or a different house filled with other gangbangers from a rival gang. Well, they all showed up with guns. The other group had guns too. The house next door also had like friendlies of the guys that were in the house that they were going to see. So there was 10 guys versus five guys. The fighting ended up going out on the street, and it's one of the main streets. It was on a road called Division here in Chicago, which is a pretty major road. It's not like a side street or anything like that. They were fighting. They were shooting at each other over and over again. The prosecution came out, made a statement. So did the Department of Justice, because one person was injured. They made a statement that no charges were going to be filed because both of the attorneys, defense attorneys on both sides of the gang war, had got together and came with a conclusion and said that we are going to argue under the old law of mutual combat, mutual agreed upon combat, which was a thing back in like the fucking 1700s, 1800s, where you could do duels and shit.
Yeah.
They're using those laws that are still on the books. And the prosecution has been like, if they do this, there's not really a whole lot we can do because they're going to not testify each other. That's their defense. And that defense has popped up over and over and over again.
We're just dueling.
And that's the reason why, like, it's hard for them to curb the gang violence because the defense attorneys have come together and said that we're going to argue mutual combat. So none of our people end up going to prison. Isn't that fucking insane? Mutual combat in 2023 with AKs in the street?
We know what else is crazy. There's been a spat of these hit and run super quick street robberies happening.
Oh,
where
yeah.
vanfuls of teenagers come up and they'll hit within like a 5-block radius, they'll hit 7 people in 10 minutes and they're gone before the cops can get there. And it's strength in numbers, how quick they move. They see someone walking down the street and they boom, they're out of the car. They surround them. They get what they need. They're on to the next person. And they do. So it'll be like a chunk of the city. And I was reading comments about it because it happened kind of near here. And again, I've had just a wonderful experience so far, but like, you know, I'm cognizant of whatever. And a few
Kate
people
and I
are
giving
like,
disclaimers because we know both of our conservative parents are listening and are pretty terrified of where we live.
Well, people were saying, well, the gang that used to like run this neighborhood has shifted. They're like, this never would have happened. This shit would never be happening if that gang was still here because they wouldn't allow that. And I was like, dang, I hope the gang comes back.
Yeah.
I want that gang back over here. Keep it.
Yes, and there's some parts where the neighborhoods like it. Like there was, I think in 2021, again, there was a lot of unrest that was going on and some of the Mexican spots of town were getting like their stores looted and shit like that. They put legit like Overwatch on rooftops with long guns to protect their grocery stores and shit and to stop people. So people in the neighborhood like them. Like they like them being around because they don't mess with anybody inside the neighborhood. It's legitimately fascinating, scary, all those types of things all rolled into one. But mutual again, combat still being
totally
a thing. When
that.
I read it, my jaw dropped.
Really?
Yeah. Head on a swivel.
For a long walk today. You know? So.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Luck, beat Navy.
Well, yep. We'll see you guys next week. Sound the retreat.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.